So I just want to finish out with a couple of general questions. First of all, in terms of MDS, I'm just kind of curious. I'm sure you see lots of patients who've been managed in a community setting, in a general medical oncology setting, that are coming to you for a second opinion. Any myths or misperceptions or things that people do in practice that you commonly see that you want to comment on that maybe could be done better?
Right. So we are fortunate a little bit that we really have a very good model of collaboration with our colleagues in the community practice here around us, that they refer patients earlier to us where we do all the sophisticated workup, we get all the genetic testing, we include those patients in our database and then refer them for the day-to-day management there. But there are obviously things that I've seen over years and like we hear about them all over the country. For example, the ASAUs, most of those patients would continue on erythroid-stimulating agents even if they go to subsequent treatments, and use of erythroid-stimulating agents in the higher risk where probably there is not much value or responses in the higher risk. Now, there had been some data, for example, in the non-deletion 5q, doing lenalidomide with ESA does yield higher responses. So there are subset of patients where it makes sense to continue the erythroid-stimulating agents. So I would say that's one of the things we see, continuous use of erythroid-stimulating agents. Sometimes we see a liberal use of G-CSF or growth factors in those patients if they are neutropenic. There is really no hard evidence that those patients will benefit from some strategy. In the higher risk, sometimes you worry about them increasing the blast or accelerating the disease. Then optimizing the current options of therapy. So for example, lenalidomide use should be restricted for patients with lower risk. So if a patient have a complex karyotype with, you know, high blast, even if it includes deletion 5q, those are not the ideal patients for treatment with lenalidomide. Then if patients are lower risk and they are treated with lenalidomide, one has to be aware of the toxicity and what will happen with the treatment and set the patient expectation. So many patients actually get discontinued early on with lenalidomide before seeing the responses. Almost 80% of patients when they start with lenalidomide, if they have deletion 5q, would develop cytopenia that require holding the treatment. But those patients that develop cytopenia on treatment actually are responding patients. So we tell the patients, you are going to need blood counts checked every week. In 3 to 4 weeks, you'll get a call from the nurse saying, hold the drug because the ANC is below 500 or the platelets are less than 50. On average, we hold 3 to 4 weeks. Then we go to the next lower dose. And then those patients, eventually, their hemoglobin will go up by a median of 5 grams. So we see a lot of patients that the treatment get discontinued early on when they develop those cytopenias. With hypomethylating agents, a couple of things. Obviously, we see early stopping of the treatment. Again, those agents need 4 to 6 months to evaluate the response. The other part I see, and sometimes it's very frustrating, is that those patients, if they are responding, they stop the treatment. So only around 10% to 17% of the patients will achieve a complete response with hypomethylating agents. The response will be lost if the treatment is stopped or spaced so long. And we see, unfortunately, some of the patients that after 6 cycles, the treatment will be stopped. And if the treatment is stopped, restarting the treatment most of the time does not work for those patients.